97. Convoy. The inside of the truck they took her home in was like the Hummer limo her class had all chipped in on for the senior prom, but no stink of air freshener, and the seats were nicer. The outside had been made to look like shit, but she didn't think it really worked that well, because if anybody in town had an American car that new, they'd wash it, and the dirt looked sprayed on. It was an American-looking truck, but not quite any particular make or model. Carlos loved that about it, said it was gray man, what he called things he'd have called tactical otherwise, except for it having been styled down to not attract attention. But he wouldn't have liked it, she guessed, if it hadn't been no make in particular, had a brutal profile, and been armored all to shit. The red-haired girl was driving, in her same bad jeans and Wildcat's tank top, but now she had one of the soft armor jackets on over that. Her name was Tacoma. Griff and Tommy wouldn't let Flynn just take a car out to the house. Had to be this whole procession. First a little remote-control three-quarter-scale SUV rigged to set off mines and roadside bombs that Leon, to her amazement, was actually piloting from the front seat of the SUV in front of the gray man truck. Loving it, apparently. No figuring Leon sometimes, what he'd really like. They'd even gotten him to put on one of the black jackets over his jean jacket, a weirdly business-like look for him, except that he was also wearing a headscarf and old-fashioned deer hunter camo, like a life-size photograph of tree bark, and he wasn't somebody who should ever wear that, if anybody was. He was in the SUV with five of Burton's boys, all with bullpups and soft armor. Four more in a second SUV taking up the rear, plus some unspecified number of drones recharging themselves off a pack on the top of the second SUV. She supposed the drones all still had a piece of aquamarine duct tape on them, because she could see a 2-foot length of it across the rear bumper of the front SUV. Burton's Aquamarine Army, and him hors de combat in the back of Cold Iron's tarp maze. If he was conscious now, he must think that that really sucked. But he probably wouldn't have gotten a look yet at how much dress-up was going on, or maybe dress-down. While she'd slept, it seemed, all the Klein Cruz Vermet people had started competing to look like a stylist's idea of county, a few even sporting tattoos she hoped were fake, or anyway the kind that faded to nothing after a year or so. Way too into it. Tommy this morning had said that was because they weren't just getting paid shitloads of money, but potential shares in Cold Iron, too. Said that even the ones who weren't very qualified were getting some of the highest salaries in the state, period, right then, and it made them giddy and determined and paranoid all at once, not to mention way too nice to her. Tacoma wasn't, though, because she wasn't just KCV. Griffith said she was with him when Flynn had asked him, but that was all he'd say. It looked to Tommy, though, like Clovis and Tacoma were both acronym, but no telling which agency. Too smart to be Holmes, he said, and not asshole enough for the really big ones. Where that fit with Griff being English, Flynn didn't know. Tommy and Griff were both needed in town today. They were only letting her go out alone because Griff still wanted her to talk her mother into the safe house in Virginia. Clovis would stay with Burton and to do the helmet thing for the surgeons in D.C. Macon and Edward were sleeping after their run on government wakey. She'd seen them curled up together on a foam under a sleeping bag, Macon snoring, Edward in his arms. She guessed that not having to dose Luke 4-5 with party time, or what Griff would have thought was party time, had cut the two of them some much-needed slack. So here she was, just her and the wheelie boy, in the back of this stealth limo truck, two rows of seats behind the front seats, then the back window, then the pickup bed with a flat, hard-shell cover. For all she knew, they might have a rocket launcher under there. "Aircon good?" Tacoma asked her. "Fine," she said. Tacoma had told her the truck could drive underwater if it had to, popping up a breather tube for the engine. There weren't any bodies of water around to seriously do that in that Flynn knew of, and just as well. She looked up now and saw the cow drone, more or less where she'd last seen it, but pretending to graze. She'd seen bullet streaks on the concrete wall back of Cold Iron and Fab, thinking how lucky it was that Burton had been the only one to catch a ricochet. The way they'd gone out to the truck this morning, they'd been out of Luke 4-5's sight, at least until they got on Porter, and by then they were far enough away that it didn't matter. And anyway, Luke were mostly still sleeping in identical black pup tents they'd pitched in the lot opposite the mall, in tight rows, like insect eggs, Leon said, or slime mold. Now she knew that they hadn't really been targeted with a drug that turned you into a homicidal sex maniac. She found herself feeling less kindly disposed toward them. Like, why couldn't Griff and Tommy between them figure out some relatively low-impact, legally non-atrocious way to get them the fuck out of town? Made a mental note to ask about that. Any chance we could get the breakfast burrito and some coffee at Jimmy's? She asked Tacoma. Pretty serious dog and pony with security here, Tacoma said. But say I call them, they bring it out to you. Fine by me. Well, not to you directly. Lead car, up front. Then we get it droned back to us. Don't have to stop. Complicated. Protocol. Jimmy's brings it directly to us. I've got to stop, unseal, even if it's just the window. Unseal? Vehicle's hermetic, except for filtered intakes. A lot of trouble for a burrito. They're spending as much money as they can on keeping your ass intact and present. You've already been kidnapped once. Those shooters last night could have been more interested in you than your brother. Flynn hadn't thought of that. You as good with a gun as Clovis? No, said Tacoma. Better. Am I alone back here to reduce the chance of one of Burton's boys trying to do what Reese did? Or worse, what kind of burrito? Want milk and sugar in your coffee? They just have the one burrito, milk and sugar. She looked over at the wheelie boy on the seat beside her and wondered where Wilf was. She'd fallen asleep on the foam after phoning Janice at the house. Tacoma was talking to someone on her earbud. She slowed, Jimmy's parking lot up ahead, and Flynn saw a boy in a white T-shirt come running out across the gravel, something in his hands. He passed it through an open window to someone in the SUV, which had almost but not quite stopped. The SUV pulled out again. Tacoma sped up, matching its speed, maintaining a fixed distance. When Jimmy's was out of sight, Flynn saw something lift out of the SUV, headed back toward them. It became a small quadcopter, toting a fabbed cornstarch travel tray with a silver foil bundle and a paper cup clipped in it. Watch this with the bed, Tacoma said without looking back. Flynn turned in time to see a rectangular hatch in the bed cover sliding open. The drone matched their speed, then lowered itself through the opening, then came right back up, minus the tray with the burrito and coffee, climbing out of sight as the hatch closed beneath it. How do we get it? Doing an airlock thing now, Tacoma said. A hatch slid up in the back of the passenger cab. Flynn undid her seatbelt, got down on hands and knees, and crawled back. With her head through the opening, she saw the tray, pulled it out. The foil was warm. They kept their breakfast burritos ready to go at Jimmy's under a heat lamp. She managed to get back into the seat with a tray on her lap, hearing the hatch close behind her, refastened her seatbelt, and peeled the foil off one end of the burrito. Thanks. We aim to please. Jimmy's breakfast burritos were gross. Scrambled eggs and chopped up bacon, green onions, exactly what she wanted right now.
Good morning, said Netherton from the wheelie.
She had her mouth full of burrito, nodded.
I hope you had a good night's sleep, he said.
The wheelie's tablet whined, turning, then tilted back so he could see out the window. Nothing but sky, unless there were drones there. She swallowed, drank some coffee. Slept okay, you?
I slept in the Gobi Wagen's jacuzzi, he said.
Were you wet?
When it's not a bath, it's an observation cupola. Connor's peripheral has the master bedroom. He was here peripherally earlier. He played with Lev's analogues in the garden, watched us have sandwiches in Lev's kitchen. Then I came back down with him. He put his Perry to bed, off for more of whatever it is she has him training on. Where are we going?
My house. The tablet straightened up, pan left to right, back again. This is kind of a limo disguised as truck, Flynn said,
Bombproof. That's Tacoma. Hey, said Tacoma, keeping her eyes on the road.
Hello, said Netherton.
Tacoma works for Griff, Flynn said. Or with him.
Or for you if it comes to that, Tacoma said.
I still don't get that.
Look at it this way, Tacoma said. Everything you can see outside of this vehicle, except for the sky and the road, you own. Bought it all in the meantime. Everything a good 20 miles back from either side of the road.
You're shitting me, Flynn said.
Cold Iron owns most of the county now, Tacoma said. Hard as it might be to prove it in court. KCV's gone full matryoshka on that.
What's that? Flynn asked.
Know those Russian dolls nest inside each other? Matryoshka. Shells within shells. So it isn't that obvious that you own all this land.
Not me. Cold Iron.
You and your brother, Tacoma said, own the majority of Cold Iron between you.
Why do they? Asked Netherton.
And who exactly is this talking head on the toy? Asked Tacoma. And Flynn realized that she was watching them as she drove on cams Flynn hadn't known were there.
Wilf Netherton, said Flynn. He's Cold Iron from London.
You're on the list then, Mr. Netherton, Tacoma said. Sorry, had to ask. Tacoma Rayburn.
Rayburn? Flynn asked. You her sister?
Yep.
And you're named Tacoma because... Didn't want to call me Snoqualmie. You from the future, Mr. Netherton?
Not exactly, he said. I'm in the future that would result from my not being there. But since I am, it isn't your future. Here.
What do you do in the future, Mr. Netherton, if you don't mind my asking? What do people do there generally?
Wilf, he said. Publicity.
That's what people do?
That would be one way of looking at it, he said after a pause,
which seemed to satisfy Tacoma, or maybe she just didn't want to be too pushy.
Flynn finished her burrito. When they passed the spot where Connor had killed the men and the stolen cardboard, it felt more like a story than something that had happened at that particular place, and she was okay with that.